Psalm 63:1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for these guys being here in your house, Lord. God, I just ask for one thing. This morning, God, I ask that you would speak. I ask that you would speak loudly and clearly to each heart, Lord. Help us to know that you spoke to us. Help us to know what we need to do with it. And God, I pray you'd be lifted up. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you guys for standing. We started into a message last week, guys, and it's called Make It Yours, out of verse number 1 here in Psalm 63. David is running for his life. Most people believe, probably, that he was running from his son. His son tried to lead a coup. He tried to overthrow his dad as king. His son's name was Absalom. And he was a wicked, wicked son of David, and he had tried to overthrow his dad. His dad is running out of town. If you look, there's kind of a intro before the verse starts. It says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Guys, he was not out there on vacation. He was not out there getting away and, you know, getting a day of relaxation, going fishing or whatever he wanted to do. Guys, he was out there running for his life, trying to hide out, trying to conceal his identity and his location, and trying to get away because they were trying to hunt him down and kill him. His own son sent out an army trying to kill his dad. Wow. Talk about gratitude, right? David's running for his life. Guys, I don't know about you. If I'm out running for my life, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking about my needs. I'm thinking about, hey, I need some protection. I need an army to help me out here. I need somebody to step into my stead and fight back and give me some protection, some safety, some security here. I would be thinking about me. It is convicting, man. That's not what David's thinking about. He's thinking about God. And he's thinking about his close personal walk with God. He's desperate, guys, to be in the presence of God. He's desperate. You know, Tim, if I'm writing this chapter in the Bible, I'm thinking, I need to get back to my throne. Ethan, I need to get back in charge. I need to get back in control. I need my people back in position. I need to get my advantage back, my power back, my influence back. He didn't care. You don't see it mentioned here. You know what he's saying? God, I need you. I need you. I need you. And you may not be a king, and you may not have a big position, and you may not have a lot going on in this world and a big influence, but can I tell you, your need is just as apparent as David's was that day. We need God, and we need to be close to him. Guys, you can come to church your entire life and not be close to God. You can wear the nice clothes, and I'm all for that, and we should honor God with what we wear and how we present ourselves, but you can do all that and not be close to God. As I preached recently, you can go to a Christian school, you can be around Christianity, around the things of God, around the Bible, around preaching, around godly singing, around godly people, and not be close to God yourself. Guys, we don't want that. We don't want that from you. We want you to be close to God. So this message is about, how do I get close to God? My intent is not just to hammer you and say, you're not close to God. How dare you? What's wrong with you? Come on. I'm trying to, in this message, hopefully with God's help, teach you, okay, how can we get close to God? And the message is called Make It Yours. Guys, the Christian life that you have should be yours. Not your parents, not your preachers, not your teachers, not your mentors, not your friends. Guys, we all come and begin this journey because of someone else, because of some other influence in our lives. And I get that. But it has to become yours at some point. It has to become the most important thing in your life. And you know how you do that? You invest time, you invest effort, you invest energy, you put your heart into it. Bible says, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. Hey guys, there is nothing more important in life than your walk with God. Listen, I'm all for you guys playing football, basketball, all this kind of stuff. That's all fun and that's all good. And some of you really put your heart into it, and I'm for that. That's good. But guys, how dare we put our heart into those things that will pass away and not put very much effort into our walk with God that'll last forever. We've got to get our priorities right. I challenge you, I urge you, I plead with you. I do everything that I can think of to try to impel you have a close walk with God. How do we do that? How do we do that? All right? I want to point out first to you, there's a personal exclamation. The first phrase of the verse, he says, "Oh God, thou art my God." Hey guys, have you said that to God for yourself? David is not looking at all his followers and saying, fellas, you know, that's not in the picture here. He's not talking to his friends. He's not talking to his family. He's not talking to his wife, his children. I'm about to say his wives, because that was the case for him, but it should not be for you. All right. A different day and age. There you go. Dispensation. Guys, he's not talking to anybody else. You know who he's talking to? He's talking to God directly. I think we lose that. Hey, I'm not against testimony time where you're saying, hey, I love the Lord. That's good. And I'm not against when you get up and preach and you say, I love the Lord. Or we sing a song in church. I know the teen choir had done it in years past, that he's my God and I love him. Hey, I love songs like that. But Aiden, maybe we would not just say it in church in a song and never say it to God ourselves. That's what I'm trying to say. Have you said that to God yourself? Say, God, I mess up all the time. God, I know that I fail you a lot, but God, I'm your child and you are my God. Guys, be personal like that. We need to get back to those things. You want to have a close personal walk with the Lord? It is about your relationship. Guys, Christian life is not a checklist. Christian life is not just a routine. We go to church, then we go home, then Sunday, then we go to church, then Wednesday we go. That's not it, guys. It's a relationship. You know what that means? Every day I'm talking to God. Every day I'm trying to please him. Every day I'm trying to walk in a way that's honoring to him. That's a relationship. That's a relationship. Guys, when I wake up every day, I'm not saying, okay, around the house, Ethan, I need to do this and this and this and this. I need to say hi to my wife. Check. I need to, you know, get the car fixed. Check. I need to fix up this around the house. Guys, that's not a relationship. That's a checklist. And I'm not against to-do lists. But, you know, I should talk to my wife. I should love her. I should treat her right. I should be kind to her. Guys, that's a relationship. And all those other things fall in place because of that relationship. A personal exclamation. He's saying, God, you are my God. Hey, guys, I said, first of all, the supreme permanence. He says, God, you're God with or without me. Guys, you understand that? God is God with or without us. That doesn't change him. That doesn't move him. That doesn't affect him. Listen, I hope not. But from time to time, we've had people be rebellious and say, man, I ain't going to do nothing. I ain't going to change. I'm not gonna change the sinful habits that I have. I'm not going to submit to God. You preach against the wrong music, I'm going to keep listening to it. You preach against not lusting after girls, I'm going to keep doing it. You preach against the wrong kind of TV shows, I'm going to keep watching them. I don't care. I'm not changing. I'm not repenting. I'm not turning from my sin. I ain't doing nothing. Got news for you, bro. God is still God. That doesn't change it. Doesn't change it. You can be as rebellious as you want to, but he's still God. He's still victorious. He'll still be on top, and he'll still rule and reign forever, with or without you. Now, we want you to be in on that. We want you to get the blessings and the benefits of it, but don't be deceived, guys. Don't misconstrue it and think that if America doesn't get right, that affects God, or if in our personal lives, we're not close to God, that affects him. Listen, I believe it grieves him that we're not close to him personally, but he ain't losing the right to be God ever. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Psalm 90 verse 2, it says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And that's not changing. I'm glad for that. You know what, guys? I'm glad for that. I'm glad for that. Time out real quick. I'm thankful for that, George. It doesn't matter how wicked the world gets, he's still God. I'm thankful for that. Man, how encouraging. He's rock solid. He ain't moving. Guys, he's not changing. He's not wavering. He's not back and forth. He's not looking at the polls and saying, oh my goodness, this guy might not get into the presidency. He's not worried about that. He's God. He's in charge. He's in control. And guys, my encouragement is get close to him. He says, oh God, he says, I'm sincere about this. I mean this. I'm not faking. I'm not playing. I'm not putting on. And guys, as I've already alluded to, he's talking to God directly. Have you done that? Have you said, God, you're my God? Hey guys, if he's your parents' God and not yours, it won't last. You will go through the motions for as long as you have to. You listening today? For as long as you have to. And then once your quote unquote sentence is up, you say, I'm out of here. I'm busting out of this joint. Guys, that's the wrong mentality. You're going to walk away. Listen. Some people are going to walk away from the greatest opportunity they've ever had to be close to God, and they're going to live a life of regret and ruin and consequences of sin. Why? Because you didn't make it yours. Please don't do that. Don't let it just be your parents' walk with God. Don't just let it be our church's walk with God or our Christianity. Make it yours. Talk to him directly. He's saying, I'm stating my pick. God, you're my God. David's not weighing it out. He's not pondering it. He's not thinking it over. Hey, guys, some of you need to make up your mind. What more does Jesus have to do? He died for you. He's blessed you in so many ways. He's taught you so much from his word. He's changed your life from the inside out. Hey, have you ever had Jesus change something about you, your attitude? Maybe some sin struggle that you've had that he's helped you overcome? Guys, he did that for you. He didn't have to. It's out of his mercy, out of his grace. But David's saying, Lord, you've done enough for me. You've done enough for me. God, you've forgiven me so many times. You've done enough for me. You've blessed me so many times. You've done enough for me. Young man, if you can't even think of anything that comes to mind of his blessings, he woke you up today. Listen, if you can't think of anything of his blessings, just do this with me. That's a blessing. You can breathe. You're alive. God gave that to you. That doesn't just happen, guys. That's not evolution. That is a creator God that gave you that ability. He did that for you. God's been good to you. But you know what a lot of us do? We walk throughout our day and never even consider the blessings of God. Never even never give 1 second of thought to it. We think about video games, Tim. We think about social media. We think about watching this and listening to this. But sometimes we don't give any consideration to what God does for us each and every day. Let's be thankful to him. David's saying, I'm not weighing it out, guys. I'm not pondering it. I'm not considering it. I'm not deliberating and still deciding. You know how you do something on the computer or on the phone and it has a little thing going around processing, right? Loading. Hey, guys, how long are we going to load that decision up in our minds? Well, I may serve. Hey, guys, what is it in your life, in your mind right now? Well, you know, I'm 14, 15, 16, but, you know, Ethan, I know some of this stuff sounds good, but that world looks appealing. I mean, I know this stuff is probably true, probably right. I haven't looked into it for myself, but from what they say, it sounds pretty good. But them girls look pretty good out in the world, too. I mean, do we have to do that for year after year after year after year? You say, Brother Tom, don't poke fun at me. Hey, guys, we've all been in that place in our lives. But you know what? You need to make up your mind. Because the longer you draw it out, the more chance there is you're going to make a wrong decision, a bad decision. You're going to go down the wrong path. You know why? Because this world is pulling at you, grabbing at you. It's everywhere. You've got to on purpose live for God. No one lives for God by accident. You have to do it on purpose. He says, I'm stating my pick. You're my God. My allegiance, my loyalty, my love, my passion is to you. And he's saying, you're my God. You're the most important thing in my life. You're the most important thing, the most precious thing in our lives. Guys, is he that way to you? All right, the personal exclamation. He says, oh God, you are my God. And I'm not playing around with this. I am all in. I'm committing myself to this. And then, guys, he says, early will I seek thee. Point number two is the prompt effort. Okay, all right, you want a close walk with God. That's what we're after, right? We want a tight relationship. Once you got saved, you have a relationship with God. You always will. That'll last for eternity, okay? But do you have a close relationship with him? Do you have a good relationship with him? How do I get one of those, Brother Tom? I need to talk to God myself, and I need to make my commitment known to him. God, I am committing to you. By the way, guys, when we make that personal commitment, I keep saying we should tell these things to God ourselves. You know why? Because God's with you all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm not against you going forward at a youth conference, youth rally, whatever. Those are fine. Sometimes we fill out cards saying I made this decision. That's fine. Sometimes you tell people to keep you accountable, but tell God himself, saying, God, with your help, I'm going to try to do this and be faithful to this. God's with you all the time, and he wants to help you. All right, so the personal exclamation, God, you are my God, and then the prompt effort. Hey, guys. You say, how do I know if he's my God? Have you told him, number one? Number two, have you made some effort to show that in your life? Hey, guys, I can all day long get up here and, fellas, not trying to show off, for these 3 seconds I am, but God is my God. Lord, I love you. And then if I go home today and act like an idiot, he is not my God. I can show off, I can be emotional, I can preach it, I can sing it, I can stand in front of a big crowd and really put on a spectacular display. But if it doesn't show up in how I live day to day, shut up, be quiet. because it's not true. You know what David says? I'm not just going to tell you that you're my God and then not back it up. You know what he's saying? Early will I seek thee. Early will I seek thee. The prompt effort. You know what he's saying? Every day, as soon as I open my eyes, you know what I think? God, I want to get close to you. I want to seek after you. I want to pursue you. I want to have that drive. I want to go after it. Guys, if he is your God, you tell him. And you don't be ashamed of that. And you ask him to help you with the areas that you struggle in. But you say, God, you're my God. That's my choice. That's my commitment. I'm giving you my loyalty. God, I'm not going to say that you're my God and then 2 months from now say, well, I don't know if you are anymore. No, we're not playing that game. God, I'm going to put it all in. I'm going to give you my whole life. I'm committing to you. You're my God. Number two, early will I seek thee. The prompt effort. You know what he's saying? Get after it. Hey, guys, if he's your God, get after it. Go after it. Give it your all. Early will I seek thee. Hey, guys, he's saying early will I seek thee. You know what I think that's referring to? The first meeting every day should be with God, to him. The priority, the utmost importance. He's saying, God, if I'm gonna seek you early, the first meeting every day, I'm gonna go and try to get close to you. Ethan, can you go to Psalm 5, verse 3? Psalm 5, verse 3. And you guys listen to this when he reads Psalm 5, verse 3. He's talking about the first meeting of every day. Hey, guys, we believe you should read your Bible every day. The best time to do it is in the morning. Why? Is because I don't want to ruin my whole day, mess up my whole day, Aiden, and then at the end of the day, have my quiet time with the Lord. Say, Lord, I thank you for this time that I get to worship you, God. God, I know I cussed this guy out of my job, and I know I cut these people off while I was driving. God, I know I lusted like a dog today. And God, I know that I was very mean and angry and argumentative to my wife. Treated my son like trash. But Lord, I'm just so thankful that I can come into your presence. And you can forgive me. Yes, he can forgive you. But why don't you start the day out right so that you don't have to do all them things throughout the day? Does that make more sense? Well, guys, you know what it relates to? You know when most of us check in the mirror, when you should check in the mirror? In the morning. You shouldn't do it at night. Be like, bro, I was walking around all day and had that stuff on my face. You know, like I had that drool, you know, that outline of that drool here all day and no one told me. I thought I had real friends. No, you don't. All right. Listen, it makes no more sense than that. Listen, just walk out the house. Don't check how you look. Don't brush your teeth. If you don't brush your teeth, don't come talking to me. Because there's like a cloud that just envelops you. Somebody's like, hey, bro, you're like, what's going on, man? You try to turn away from him, like, how are you doing, man? You know, you're like covering your nose as you're talking to him, like, so how's life? Okay, good. You know, you're like, just stay away from me. Stay downstream. Point that way, you know? Help me. Listen, it makes no more sense than that. Just go throughout the day. People be like, man, that dude stunk. That dude had a drool outline all over his face. And then at the end of the day, you get all cleaned up and say, all right, looking good now. Now I'm going to go to bed. That makes no sense. In the same way, guys, spiritually, let's not mess ourselves up the whole day. And then at the end, let's get right with God. You can read your Bible anytime. It's all good. But you should have your devotions as early as you possibly can. All right? So, with all that, that's the introduction for Ethan. Psalm 5:3.
My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayers unto thee, and will look up.
Guys, that's a very strong verse. You can write that down, look that up sometime. But he's saying, in the morning, God, I'm going to direct my prayer unto thee. He's saying, God, you're going to hear my voice in the morning. And then he says, and after I pray to you, I'm going to look up. You know what that's anticipation. He's saying, God, I gave you my request. Now I know you're going to do something about it. Hey guys, he says in the morning. That comes up two times in that verse. In the morning. He's saying the first meeting of the day. Here we have early will I seek thee. Guys, if he's your God, if you want to make this Christian life yours, tell him about it. Make those commitments to him personally. Hey, you can tell every pastor in the country.
Yeah, I just want to let you know I have this ministry.
Have you told God, God, I'm committing to you to do this in a regular fashion in my life? That's more valuable than all of that. I'm not against the ministries. I'm not against doing this and that. But Ethan, we can blow our own horn to everybody and it not be real with the only one that matters. You see what I'm saying? Tell him personally. Number two, Early will I seek thee. You want God to be your God? Get after it every day. Wake up and have the first meeting of the day. God, I'm going to meet with you. Guys, that'll do more for your Christian life than almost anything. The first meeting, it's the priority, it's the importance. It's what I'm going after, it's what I hunger for, what I thirst for. Here's some other references for you. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I think this is wisdom personified here. But he's saying, if you seek me early, you're going to find me. He's saying, if you have that effort, that eagerness, that hunger, that desire, if you go after it hard, that gets God's attention. Also in Proverbs 8, it says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. You know what it's saying? It's almost like the imagery of someone waiting outside the door or the gates in this context. And it's almost like, I don't know if you've done this or you've seen this on TV. I remember seeing this on TV. Some kids waiting outside somebody's house, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, whatever the setting the show was, right? They're waiting outside somebody's house. Now we'll be like, we're calling the police on you, but this is a different day and age, right? Different dispensation, not really. All right. They're sitting outside the house, and then the mom comes out. What are you doing here? Can Johnny come out and play? That's what that verse is saying in Proverbs 8. He's saying, every day I wake up, and you know what I'm waiting for to come out? Wisdom. I need that wisdom. I'm hungering and thirsting for that. I need it. It's the first meeting I have every day. I wake up, I go, and I'm waiting for that wisdom to come out so I can get it into my life and use it in my life. And Proverbs is dealing mainly with wisdom. But guys, where does all wisdom come from? It comes from God. So do you have that hunger, that passion? God, I've got to meet with you every day. God, before I go to work, before I go to school, before I see people, before I talk to my friends, before I get on social media, before I text anybody, God, I've got to have that meeting with you. That's important. And then he says there's a forceful mindset. He says, early will I seek thee. Hey, guys, who are you seeking? Who are you seeking? What are you after? Some people come to church looking for friends. Some people come to church just looking for something to do. Some people come to church looking for a female. Guys, don't come to church for those things. Those things are peripheral things. Those things are extras. And those things in their proper regard are fine. But come to church for God. And let's wipe church off the page for a minute. Do everything in your life for God. Meet with him every day because you want to be close to him. Every word that comes out of your mouth should please him. Verse number 8, you're in Psalm 63, most of you. Verse number 8, it says, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. Guys, you following hard after God? You know what that's saying? He's saying, I'm going hard after you, God. I'm going hard after you. Guys, are you going hard after God? Are you going harder after some girl than you are God? Are you going harder after being accepted by your friends than you are going after God? Hey, guys, some of us, if we got to learn stuff, we go after it. You guys learning plays, you guys learning this. Some of it, we know the stats and we know the moves of our favorite athlete, but we know nothing about our God. That's a problem. That's a problem. Go after it. Go after it. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Tom? You're talking in riddles. Why don't you memorize some verses so that you can get close to God? Why don't we develop a prayer list so you can get close to God? Why don't you say, hey, I'm going to be faithful in my Bible reading every day. Why? So that when Brother Tom asks me, I can say, yes, yes, I did it. Get off my back. No. So that you can get close to God. That's the purpose for it. The forceful mindset. He's saying, I'm seeking it. I'm after it. I'm going for it. I'm pursuing it. There's a drive. I'm after this thing, guys. Do you come to church with the mindset of, God, I got to get close to you? I hope so. That investment, that intensity. I gave this verse, but it's a great verse, man. Jeremiah 29:13, ye shall seek me and find me when you search for God with all your heart. Go after it with all that you have. God's not trying to hide from you. God's not trying to stay away from you. God's not trying to stay aloof from you. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to see how bad you want it. And if you want it bad, guys, he will change your life forever. You got to go after it, though, with all your might. Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek him first. We give God leftovers a lot of times. God, I'm going to do this, blah, 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 blah. If I have some time, maybe I'll seek you a little bit. God, that's not it. Do you seek him first? And guys, if you do, there's going to be a foremost manifestation. It'll show is what I'm saying. It's going to show. Hey, guys, if you're really going after it, that'll show up. That will show up in your life. Psalm 19:14 talks about, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Hey guys, you know what you're going to be able to notice in somebody? If every word is, every word and every thought is measured by, God, I want this to be acceptable to you, Ethan, that will show up in the words that come out of someone's mouth. Yeah. And Wes, you hang around a person like that long enough, you will notice the difference between that guy and the average Joe. If your name is Joe, I'm sorry, but you get what I'm saying, right? Guys, you get me? Listen, there will be a clear distinction. Do you think that, Lord, every word that comes out of my mouth, every thought that's in my mind, Lord, I want it to be acceptable in your sight. And God sees it all, so he sees every one of them. That'll show up. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat, drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Guys, start measuring everything you do by, does it glorify God or not? That will clear out more junk than anything I can think of. Just start measuring everything by that. This word I say, does it glorify God? This thing I'm looking at on social media, does it glorify God? And if it doesn't, get rid of it. And the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 8:3, it says, if any man love God, the same is known of him. You know what it's saying? If you love God, you don't have to broadcast it to everybody. They already know, because it speaks for itself. It'll show forth by itself. You don't need to tell everybody. You don't need to get the microphone. You don't need to stand up. You don't need to say, by the way, church, just want to let you all know, I love Jesus, you know, and do it all fancy. You don't have to say, you don't have to do anything like that. People will know. You don't have to say it like that, by the way, all right? People will know. Guys, if new guys come in here and you're the first person they see and you're friendly and you shake their hand and you're trying to help them, that'll show up. That'll show up that you love the Lord. It'll show up when we go visiting and you're after people and you're giving tracts, you're trying to witness to them so that they go to heaven. That'll show up. Yeah. It'll show up. You don't have to tell everybody. You don't have to make an announcement in church. Ask pastor to announce it in between the you know, there's a men's conference this week. And by the way, Ethan loves the Lord. You know, you're like, you don't have to do that. It will show up in your life. It'll be broadcast by just how you live. God help us all to do that, guys. You say, Brother Tom, I want a close walk with God.
Yeah, I do too.
How do we do it? Make that personal commitment between you and God. What have you told God recently? What commitments have you said to him? You say, God, you're my God, and I'm your child. And God, I mess up all the time, but God, my allegiance is to you. My love is to you. God, I'm all in on your side. I'm not trying to play both sides. I'm all in. Number two, do you give a prompt effort? If he's your God, I tell you, the first thing every day, you're going to be after your relationship with him. And it doesn't just stop there. Throughout the day, you want to measure everything by, Lord, I want to be close to you. I want to be right with you. All right, let's see if we can get farther here. Point number three, the passion is exuded. Notice what he says in this verse here. Actually, Liam, you got the verse, right? Can you read verse number 163:1 for me, please? Thanks, sir. Great job. The passion is exuded. Guys, he said, yeah, he added.
And, oh God, you are my God.
All right. I'm thankful for that. It wasn't some high-pitched thing. No, I like that. All right. He's saying, oh God, you're my God. All right. We covered that. Early while I seek thee, I'm going to get after it. I'm going to go after it. Hey, guys, hearkening back to that last point. You know, sometimes in football, football and basketball especially, dude, it seems like one team, as soon as the first play of the game happens, they're like, the other team's like, what's going on, right? The game last night, right? I turned it on. Before you know it, it's like 8-0, 10-0 Lakers. You're like, what's going on? Now they're done. They still ain't going to win the series. But for one game, they look pretty good, right? Guys, what happened? As soon as they blew the whistle, these guys like throwing a haymaker at the Nuggets. The Nuggets like, what's happening? They got after it. They weren't trying to feel the game out. They weren't just trying to get through the first quarter and see how we feel and see if we're close. And they went after it. Hey, guys, in the spiritual life, are you going after it? Man, I know. We all get dead tired, you know. We preach like this, Ethan, and then we think, tomorrow I'm going to jump out of bed, run to my desk, get there, open my Bible, Lord, speak, and the fire of the Lord's going to fall. And then you wake up tomorrow and it's like, ugh. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not real life, right? You're like, but it's so hard, you know? Getting out of bed, you feel like somebody put like 1,000-pound weight on you. Like, I literally can't move, you know? It's just laziness is all it is. But you know what? In real life, it feels really different, doesn't it? But we got to push through that. We got to push through that. Notice what he says here, though. He's saying this passion is exuded. Notice how he describes it. This is how he describes his yearning for this. He says, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. Guys, to describe that, these are deep within him. Again, this is not surface. This is not shallow. He's not just saying, you know, some people, both how we talk with some people, and like, man, do you want to get close with God? Yeah, you know, you can already tell by their response. It's not very serious. They're not very committed. You know, I don't know about you. On a sports team, guys, you're like, you ready to win today? And the guy's like, yeah. And you're like, are you serious? Like, I'm about to throw a punch. Let's go. You know, come on. Let's get up for this. Hey, guys, in the Christian life, let's go after it. You know what he's saying? He's saying, God, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. This guy is saying this stuff is deep within me. This is a passion that I have. And guys, he's out in the wilderness, right? He's probably away from water. He's probably away from satisfaction. But he's relating that to spiritually how much we need. Guys, if you've been playing sports and going hard for a while, you get really thirsty. You're like, dude, you know, the half a Gatorade story. You're like, you know, just give me something. I don't care if it's clean or not. I'm going to die. You know, like, I need something. Guys, do we ever, you know, physically, those needs are very apparent to us. We can feel that. We can sense that. Spiritually, guys, those things are hard to tell sometimes, especially if you're not close to God. If you start drifting away from God, Ethan, it seems like you can keep taking step away from God, and you don't really notice. Why? Because you're not close to God. You're not close to him, so you can't hear his still small voice. Hey, guys, that's more dangerous. You know what David's saying? God, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. God, I need this. He's saying it's like a thirst, a craving, a yearning. He's depicting how intense his desire is. Hey, guys, do we have that? Man, you ever sit in church and there's a fire kindling in your heart and you think, God, you got to help me. God, you got to help me. God, you got to help me give out more tracts. You got to give me the strength to stand for you. You got to help me overcome some of my sin struggles. You got to help me. Is there ever that burning desire? Hey, guys, Christian life is not all about feelings. It's certainly not. It's about living our life by truth. But David's saying, God, I have an intense desire to be close to you. God, help us to have that. God, help us to have that. You know how we get more of that is by investing more time in it. Christian life, the more you invest in it, the more you want it. The less time you invest in it, the less you want it. It really works that way. The personal exclamation, God, you're my God. The prompt effort, early will I seek you. The passion exuded. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. And then, point number four, the precious exclusivity. At the end of the verse, he says, I thirst for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You know what he's saying? Nothing else in this world will satisfy me except God. And guys, some people wear themselves out chasing everything in this world, trying to fill the longing in their heart. And you know what? None of that stuff will ever do it. And we have people that hear the name of Jesus hundreds of times when they come to church, but they pass right by the answer to all of their heart's longings, because they don't put in effort trying to get close to God, and they put in so much effort on worthless things. Mm-hmm. The precious exclusivity. You know what he's saying? My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. I want you so bad because, God, nothing around me will satisfy me. Nothing in this world will do it, but God, you will do it. Hey, guys, do we have that mentality? He's saying everything in this world will be unfulfilling to me. Everything in this world will not do the job. The unfulfilling emptiness of the world. He's saying, I can't get it anywhere else. Nothing else will do. God, only you. I need only you. You know what the Bible says? Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. You put something more important than God in your life, it says your sorrows will not just increase or be added. It says it will be multiplied. Those numbers go up fast when you're multiplying something. Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. You know what that tells me? George, if I go harder after something else in this life, it'll never satisfy me, number one. And God promises that it will be hard and difficult for me. why would I expend all my effort and energy after that? I get it, guys. Temptation is real. The world throws this stuff in our face all the time. You know what it promises? Happiness and joy and fulfillment and fun. It's all a lie, though. You can only get those things from God. The unfulfilling emptiness of this world and the ultimate enjoyment. Only God can give me joy. You know what the Bible says? If I'm close to God, filled with the Spirit, that He'll give me love, joy, peace. Those three alone, the whole world is seeking after. But if I can just make more money, then I'll have this. If I can just get a different relationship, then I'll have joy in my... And it never works. It never works. Hey, guys. Some of the most physically attractive people in all the world are the movie stars, right?
Yeah.
Let's be honest about it. They can't stay married one time. Their marriages last sometimes months. What is that? I don't know what that is. That's not a marriage. They go from this one to that one to this one to that one to this one. That's nothing. Guys, it's not about that. Well, if I could just get her. If I could just do this. If I could just accomplish this. And it's still empty. You've heard Zach talking here before about Tom Brady giving an interview after he had won, I don't know, 3-4 Super Bowls. And he said, you know, I've won all these things, accomplished all these things, but I feel like I'm still missing something. Guys, that man has accomplished what most all the people in the world will never accomplish. And he said, you know, it's still not it. Still not it. We know what it's all about. But let's go after it. Let's not pass it by. He'll give us love and joy and peace. The Bible says, Jesus said, I came to give you life. Life more abundantly. Guys, we've got it all right here in our relationship with God. But we overlook it very often. You know what Jesus said to the woman at the well, John chapter 4? Jesus said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Hey guys, all the stuff of this world, you can drink of it, but you'll thirst again.
Right.
It won't satisfy. You'll drink it and say, man, that didn't do it. I need some more, and I need some more, and I need some more. All the drinking, all the drugs, all the sex, all the relationships, all the parties, guys, it won't do it.
Right.
You know what Jesus said? Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. He's saying, I can give you something that'll last for eternity. I can give you salvation. I can give you a relationship with me. Hey guys, when that money won't do it, that relationship with God will. When that girl can't help you, God can. When those friends aren't around, God's still with you. He can do for you what no one else can. So, if nothing in this world can satisfy us, but only Jesus can, guys, we need to give Him the best effort in our lives should be devoted to Him, right? It makes sense that that should be the case. But very often it's not. We need to work on that personally. So I should go after it like nothing else in this world. You remember what, again, verse number 8, as I get back to it again? You remember what David says in this chapter? My soul followeth hard after thee. Brother Tut, he's saying, I'm going hard after this thing. I'm after it. Hey, guys, could you say that about your life? Do you go harder after sports than you do your walk with God? You go harder after some relationship or some friend group or this or that fun and this and that? Or do you go harder after your relationship with God? God help us. God help us. Hey, guys, look at me. None of us is there, okay? But we're all striving. Let's all truly be striving after this and not just playing games. God help us to do that. So let's go hard. Hey, again, hearkening back to Peter, Jesus says to the 12, you leaving me too? He's saying, who are we going to? Lord, there's nobody like you. Why would I leave you? Hey, guys, why would we leave Jesus? Who else can we find like him? There's no comparison to him. He's saying, to whom shall we go? And guys, one last thing. And the message is done. You say, okay, all right, yeah. Strong verse, Brother Tom. David's getting after it. Lord, you're my God. All right. Early will I seek thee. I'm showing it how intense it is. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. And nothing else in this world can satisfy me. Nothing can compare to what God can do for me. Hey, guys, gangs can't do for you what God can do for you.
Right.
A girl can't do for you what God can do for you. Listen, get close to Him. That should be our supreme effort. Everything, we should go harder after that than everything else in this life. But you say, yeah, I mean, but hold up. That's a strong verse and all, but come on, man. David's a king. David's a great Christian. It's probably easy for him. And some people in the room say, I've had a rough life. I've had some obstacles in my way. I've had some hardships in my life. And for some of these guys in this room, it's easy for them, but it's not for me. And you're excusing yourself. You're giving yourself an excuse. Can I remind you the context of what's going on in Psalm 63? David is being hunted down like a dog. He's running for his life. Things were not easy for him. And guys, I don't care if you've grown up in a Christian home. I don't care if you have the greatest parents. I don't care. All these privileges, and they are privileges that some of us have enjoyed. But can I tell you still? You still have to make it yours. Because I've known some of the best people that have had everything as far as Christianity handed them on a silver platter that have walked away from it. You have to make it yours.
Right.
It was not easy, the environment that David was in. It was not smooth. It was not calm. It was not chill for him. With all this chaos and fear surrounding him, I would be worried about my safety. I'd be worried about, man, we need to do something to get this kingdom back in my hand. That's not what David's focused on. He's focused on, God, I need to be close to you. And young man, that's what we need more than anything. Guys, I hope you win Thursday, but you know what you need more than a couple wins on Thursday? You need to be close to God.
Yes.
Guys, I want everybody in this room truly to have a good life and God to bless them and all that. But listen, if you never have a big house and big car and live in a nice neighborhood and wear the name brand clothes, that's meaningless. But I sure hope that you get a close walk with God. We've got to have that. We've got to have that. How do you do it? Talk to God yourself. Tell him, God, you're my God. Make that commitment personal. Hey, guys, if he's your God, get after it every day. Early will I seek thee. First thing in the morning, meet with him. Throughout the day, seek him. And guys, that'll show out to people. If you truly do those things, have that become a passion that's deep within you, like David describes, and then realize nothing in this world can do what God can do. So that when the world throws these things at us, they dangle their things in front of us, we say, no, I got something better. I've got a close walk with God. But that's not going to happen, young man, until you make it yours. God help us to do that. Let's bow.